May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the first words we often learn to say are the words thank you. Do you remember learning to say this, I wonder? Or maybe you taught your children or grandchildren to say it and remember your efforts. We usually start with the word car, because it's easy to say. I remember teaching my two boys to say ta by withholding any morsel of enjoyment from them until they finally said that magical word ta. Then I'd pass it on and they could enjoy it. It was much like training a dog, but don't tell them I told you that, please. We should, of course, say thank you for all of God's gifts to us. And that's what this season of harvest that we're still in is all about. And that is, of course, what happened here last week at your harvest service. Particularly great to hear £500 being donated and food too. I know the food bank were particularly grateful for your donations. Hopefully, we all remember to say thank you to God when we sit down and share a meal together. This is often called saying grace, isn't it? In fact, I've recently learned the shortest grace ever. If you would like to use it, you may even know it yourself. But the shortest grace is this. It's simply ta-pa. There you go. A short grace there. Doesn't waste a lot of time, does it? But we've got no excuse not to say thank you to God for all his good gifts. I did research about the phrase thank you, and I was trying to find out really where it came from, and I couldn't really find that out. But I did find out why we need to say thank you. It's important to say thank you because we recognise that someone has had a choice. They didn't have to do something in a certain way, but did it for us anyway. Saying thank you acknowledges our dependence on others. As I'm sure you know, no person is an island. We need to work with one another, don't we? We should appreciate the act of a good deed and the time it took to perform that deed. It's important to recognise the time that something takes, especially as we are now living in a very time-deprived society. We acknowledge our relationship with the person every time we say thank you. It's a simple sign of respect, if you like, and if we don't express gratitude, then our relationship might be affected because we're not sharing that we care. We're not showing that we care about the person. And in our gospel, we hear about 10 lepers who asked Jesus to cure them from their disease. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, they cry. Now, in biblical times, leprosy was not necessarily a lethal disease, but neither did it ever seem to cease. There was obviously no medical treatment in biblical times for skin disease. Instead, it remained for years, causing the skin tissues to degenerate and disfigure the body. In biblical times, lepers were considered unclean, and they were forced to separate themselves from the public. They had to go and live in separate places. That's where the term leper colony comes from. The mere touch of a leper, it was thought, brought uncleanness. And breathing even the same air of a leper was believed to be very dangerous indeed. So when someone was pronounced leprous, they were looked upon as dead and cast out of society to dwell in a special place. A place that would have been in the wilderness, away from the main populace. Place that may have involved living in tents or even caves. And in ancient Israel, lepers were commanded to wear certain clothes so they could be spotted from a distance. They had to keep themselves a certain distance from people and even had to wear special bells. And they had to cry, unclean, unclean, if someone got too close to them. The rabbis at the time saw leprosy as a chastisement, a punishment from God due to moral issues, so thinking that it was a result of someone's sin. Now, these lepers from our gospel story had heard about Jesus. They'd heard that he had already cured people from leprosy and other diseases. And this is why they addressed him as Master, to reflect that their belief held that Jesus could heal them. But you might notice that Jesus did not say, "Be made clean," so that the leprosy left them in an instant. Usually he did do this in lots of the healing stories. Jesus did it there and then. But this time, he tells those 10 lepers to do something. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Now remember, he did that before he healed them. So he sent them off unhealed, if you like. And it was not until they went that they were finally made clean. They were taken away from the disease of leprosy. It was released from them. And I believe that the action of going was all the faith needed to be healed. They were obedient and had faith in what Jesus could do. As they went, of course, the blessing then came. They were cleansed. This meant that they could re-enter society. They were no longer banished and on the fringes. I don't know if any of you can imagine what it must be like to be sent away from your family and friends because you're ill. It's an awful thing to consider, isn't it? When you're ill, that's when you leave people around you. And for a leper in biblical times, life was over until the healing came. As we said, it was as if you were dead. Anyway, in addition to all of this, so we've got those 10 lepers who were told to go and show yourself to the priest, and on the way they were healed. But one of those ten, returned to thank Jesus. And it was the Samaritan leper, probably the ones that the hearers of this parable would have been surprised about, because, as many of you know, the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. But he did say thank you. He gave thanks to Jesus for what he had done. And incidentally, you might be interested to know this, some of you may know this already, but the Greek word for giving thanks is the word Eucharist. And we're going to celebrate the Eucharist later, aren't we? When we have Holy Communion. It is here we can give thanks for all that Jesus has done for us on the cross. So Jesus wasn't just giving back to the lepers their health, but also their place in society. It was a huge gift, and was both a physical healing and a healing of the community. Being healed of leprosy meant being reunited with friends and family. You could once again work, you could be independent, and you could support your family. The time of begging and separation was finally over. And I suppose in one way, that's what we remember when we receive Holy Communion. We remember that we were dead, but now we are alive through Jesus Christ. And we come together as the body of Christ, despite our differences. We all share the one bread, don't we? Even though we are all different, we share one bread. In our first reading we heard from 2 Timothy, Paul writes that you should present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. And it must have taken quite an act of faith and obedience to present yourself to the priest to show that your leprosy was gone. They had to believe truly that Jesus had healed them. And I think we should have a similar faith in knowing that if we approach God, then we have wholeness of life. But we must also remember to say thank you for all that God has done through us and in us through Jesus. And that's a lesson, if not the lesson, for us today. The lepers were all healed, but only one came and said thank you. Only one was truly grateful for what Jesus had done. The others had kind of taken it for granted. They knew that Jesus could do it, he did it, they went away.
So we need to acknowledge all that God has done for us and to be thankful to him. It's one thing to be grateful, it's another thing to express it. When we receive the body and blood, as we will do later, we are expressing our thanks to God for all our needs, but particularly for Jesus and the forgiveness that came when he died and rose again for our sins. I often get worried when people say to me, I didn't want to receive Holy Communion today because, you know, I don't feel right, I'm not having a good time, because I think that's part of grace. We all fall short, don't we? None of us are perfect. We all fall short in the grace of God. But that act of sharing the bread and wine reminds us that only through Jesus can we receive wholeness of life. It's only through grace. We're not worthy, any of us. We've all sinned and we will continue to sin. This afternoon I have two baptisms. And one of the things I always explain to parents is that when we talk about washing away sin, of course we're not saying the children, the babies that are being baptised have sinned. Obviously they haven't. But there is an acknowledgement that we are all human and at some point in our lives we will make wrong decisions and go our own way rather than the way of Jesus. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? And that's why we are the body of Christ together. And that's why we share that one bread and one wine. So let us today be grateful and thank God for all his good gifts. Amen.